Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Begin countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida. And all around the country and around the world, for that matter. Glad to have each and every one of you along with us this afternoon. Hello to all you folks over at Head On Radio Network, the iTunes folks, Democrats.com, DemocraticUnderground.com, Smirking Chimp. Some of these days we're going to have to list all those folks, all the websites where people listen. There's a pretty good number of them, and we're glad to have every single one of them along with us. How are you doing today? How have you been? Lots of news to talk about, many things to talk about today. We're going to have a great guest with us, somebody that many of you may not know, but I guarantee you, you'll be interested in her story. Lady by the name of Jane Stillwater. Jane's been a cyber friend of mine for a long time, and she's a writer, reporter, and recently returned from Baghdad. So she'll have some great stories to tell us, some human interest stories of her time there inside the Green Zone. And outside as well. So look forward to that coming up around the bottom of the hour. We'll look forward to having Jane Stillwater on. You can check out jpstillwater.blogspot.com. She'll have some of her items on there, and we'll talk to her about that coming up in a little bit. Just talking to a friend a while ago about traveling. This is at that time of year when people are grabbing the family. I had the neighbors here the other day, had to take their grandkids to Disney World and had such a good time. We're not that far away from Disney World here, so it's a local trip. One advantage living where we live here in southern Florida is if the cruising. If you want to take a cruise, you don't even have any airfare to pay, which makes the cruises just absolutely dirt cheap. You can really go on some of these cruises as cheap as you can go out on a night on the town, truly. So, yeah, we were talking to somebody about that. And it doesn't matter where you go on vacation necessarily. It doesn't matter what you do on the vacation. It's who you're doing it with, you know, and that means a lot. I mean, for example, you could have a great time in Cleveland if you're with the right person, you know what I mean? Now, I don't want to disparage everybody in Cleveland, but you could have a good time in Cleveland. In fact, I have had good times in Cleveland. Cleveland's a great city if you with the right person doing the right thing, if you know what I mean. Anyway, you can call us here on the show today, 866-546-5254. We'd be happy to have you join us. We most certainly would. Much to talk about today, and we'll probably bounce around all over the place. I was, as my mother used to use the term, tickled pink. I don't know where that came from. To hear George McGovern yesterday, George McGovern said, I expect to see Cheney and Bush forced to resign their offices before 2008 is over. It all came out came from the fact that Cheney was running was running George McGovern down. And let me tell you something. I know a lot of you don't know George McGovern, and I can't say that I know George McGovern, but I sat with him at a function here a while back, and I mean sat with him, right, eyeball to eyeball. And what a fascinating man, and one of the best speakers, impromptu speakers that I have ever heard. He could literally get up and keep an audience spellbound for hours on end. He's that good of a speaker with no notes and nothing prepared. He just gets up and starts talking about the events of his life and what he knows about this, that, and history and whatever. A fascinating man. And I loved it yesterday when he said, "I expect to see Cheney and Bush forced to resign their offices before 2008. It would be the greatest gift, in my opinion, that this country could probably receive. And I think it would be the first step in helping us move past the most serious constitutional crisis in this country's history." McGovern went on to say, "It is my firm belief that the Cheney-Bush team has committed offenses that are worse than those that drove Nixon, Vice President Spiro Agnew, and Attorney General John Mitchell from office after 1972. Indeed, as the repeated violations of the Constitution and federal statutes, as well as their repudiation of international laws, came under increased consideration, I expect to see Cheney and Bush forced to resign their offices before 2008 is over." So, George, I hope you're right. We're looking forward to having George on the Senator McGovern on the show before very much more time has passed. We spoke to his people yesterday. Didn't get a chance. He lives here in the winter, so that's why he his number's in the phone book, I might add. So he's one of those guys that has there's no pretensions about what George McGovern. What you see is indeed what you get. Also, before I go too far, I want to mention something, and get your little pens and papers out and write this down. EverythingGeorgeKnows.com. EverythingGeorgeKnows.com. Got a note from a friend, Gary Avignon, and he's got a website called EverythingGeorgeKnows.com, and he sent me this little book that he just put out, and I got to tell you, it's a real hoot. It's a book, and the name of it is Everything George Bush Knows About Diplomacy. And if you're having a meeting of a bunch of Democrats, a bunch of liberals, this would be a great thing to pass out, believe me. Got a picture, and I might add a nice picture of Junior Bush on the front page of it, and then the title, Everything George Bush Knows About Diplomacy. And you need to see this. And if you are in the habit of going to political events and so forth, this would be a great handout to everybody there. So head on over to EverythingGeorgeKnows.com and take a look at this. And I know you'll want one, and you'll want your friends and family to have one as well. Where were we here? Had something I was going to say, and I put it aside. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. We'll do what we do. I've been keeping up, as well as many of you, I'm sure. I've been keeping up on this Alberto Gonzalez mess, and it still is a mess. And as far as I'm concerned, when Bush said the other day that Gonzalez had reaffirmed his trust in Bush's trust in him, I thought that was one of the more laughable things that I've ever heard Junior Bush say. And when you hear a statement like that, I think it lends itself to letting us say that I think we've now entered the realm of theater, and it's the theater of the absurd with this Gonzalez farce. And it's gone far enough, for God's sake. We've got an Attorney General of the United States, the highest-ranking law officer in the nation, not able to remember any details about firing almost 10% of his staff of U.S. attorneys. Imagine that. Doesn't remember making any recommendations about him, although he wrote an op-ed for the Washington Post that they were fired for, and I think his exact words were, performance issues. But he doesn't know what the performance issues were, if there really were any actual performance issue in the first place. And he says he's sorry about bringing up anything about the performance issues that he doesn't remember. Actually, I'm sorry. I should put it performance issues he can't recall. Seems like he likes that word recall. It reminds me of the time Donald Rumsfeld actually said, and he did say this, and I quote Donald Rumsfeld, and that's how absurd Gonzalez's testimony was. Rumsfeld said, and I quote, "I believe what I said yesterday. I don't know what I said, but I know what I think. And, well, I assume it's what I said." That's vintage Donald Rumsfeld, is it not? Same kind of deal with Gonzalez. Now, I want everybody to remember one thing. Since this guy graduated from Harvard Law School, without having the benefit of having rich and famous parents, you'd have to assume that Alberto Gonzalez is not actually stupid. Although that hearing last week didn't do much to put that out of your mind. But you'd also have to assume that he's the ultimate loyal lackey for Junior Bush. He has to know that although he hasn't exactly been publicly thrown overboard by the administration, he hasn't exactly been invited to the White House for a photo op and a personal vote of confidence by Junior Bush either. And so, therefore, I think he is, just like when Nixon and boys had the same trouble, he's being allowed to twist in the wind. And he's the object of scorn and ridicule by the American people, just so that he can divert attention away from Junior Bush's major problem, his Iraq war. And all of the years of blindly loyal service that he's devoted to Junior Bush, and just like some 3,300 of our military personnel, he ends up being cannon fodder for Junior Bush. You have to think that Karl Rove is carefully managing the situation right now, taking advantage of every bit of other news that might take the Bush war and his failed surge out of the headlines. And just think how lucky they've been as of late. Think how lucky they have been in the press, these Bush people. The Imus affair, the congressmen having their homes raided by the FBI, the big blow-up about Nancy Pelosi going to Syria. It was a hit job on her, very well done by Rove and company, and although I don't think it resonated with anybody but Junior Bush's insane political base, really. And we've had the Virginia Tech carnage, and even Alec Baldwin chipped in. And so Junior goes out on a speaking tour last week. What the hell for? I just don't know. Can you understand why anybody would allow him, his handlers let him go out and speak nowadays, especially extemporaneously like he did last week a couple of times? He cut loose in Michigan and in Ohio. He spoke to hand-picked crowds of Bush devotees, and being as kind as I can be, being extra kind, I think he came off sounding like, I don't know. He came off sounding kind of like Sparky the Circus Clown after smoking a couple of Cheech and Chong-sized doobies. That's what he sounded like to me. I can think of a lot of things he sounded like. I'd really like to know what his handlers thought they could gain by throwing him out in front of the public again. Was it really just to take emphasis away from the Gonzalez hearing? There's no way. No way. No matter what he does, there's no possibility that this guy can rehabilitate his image. That's out. And that stupid comment he made about books still being written about George Bush, as though the jury's still out on the father of our country, and therefore anything written about Georgie Boy isn't necessarily accurate about his legacy, was especially laughable. The guy's a first-class buffoon. Or, as they would say, buffoni. If this guy weren't blessed with tons of money given to him by his daddy's friends for nothing on Junior's part, and if he were not the recipient of presidential retirement benefits for the rest of his life, and if he had to go out and make a living, he wouldn't be able to get a job at the local car wash when he gets out of office. My apologies to the car wash people. If you stripped him of the privileges that come with his name, his royal name, and the presidency, he'd be lucky to be able to make a living to support him and Laura. You know it's true. You know it's true. So back to my original point. Gonzo is the point man for him right now. And they know they're under withering fire, and Gonzo's taken some of the bullets. So I guess my point is, when will they decide that Gonzo has outlived his usefulness as the Attorney General? When will they decide that Gonzo's political corpse is so riddled with political bullets that he isn't providing any cover anymore, and therefore he's expendable? Will he have the grace to resign? Or will he continue to be Bush's whipping boy? That is the question to me. I'd really love to have the answer to that. I think we'll get the answer to that fairly soon, don't you? I hope so. 866-546-5254. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Hey, we're back. We're...
Of all the things to focus on, what...
Oh, now shut that off. Producer gets carried away once in a while. That would be me. Welcome back to the Guy James Show. Glad to have all of you along with us here today. You can participate in the program by giving us a call at 866-546-5254. And we've got somebody on line number one that wants to speak to us right now. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Phil up in Daytona Beach. How are you
Phil.
Today?
Hi, doing well.
Oh, good to hear.
Got something right here, a message from you that we're going to talk about a little later on the program, but if you wish, you can do it right now.
Oh, thank you, Guy. First, if I would like to try to answer the question you just posed. You know, how long will this go on with Gonzo, you know? As long as they can stretch it out.
Yeah,
I believe.
You're right.
You know, but thank you for mentioning... what's happening this Saturday across the country? It's National Impeachment Day, and there's going to be actions and activities all over the country. I encourage all the listeners to get on the internet and type in WWA as in alpha, and the numbers 28.org to get information on what events might be happening in your neck of the woods and what you can do about it. And if there's not an event, I think it even has ideas of what folks can do to create something themselves.
Well, Phil, talk about the one that's taking place in Southeast Florida this weekend.
It's called the Unwelcoming Party. And George Bush, as you mentioned, he's been out. They let him out loose to speak in public again, he's going to be in Miami speaking as the commencement speaker for Miami-Dade College. And I really feel for those poor students that worked so hard to graduate, you know, and this is what they're presented with.
This is their reward for four years of hard study.
Yes. What a shame. And thankfully there's been a campaign down there, you know, where alumni are really giving it to the school, you know, protesting this. And that's what's going to happen. People are coming from all over, to Miami, to protest Bush, you know, and on National Impeachment Day and, you know, remind people that this guy has committed the most egregious impeachable offenses, and we've got to remind the American public of that. You know, this guy, he's a war criminal. He's totally destroyed the Constitution that these losers in Washington swore an oath to uphold.
And Phil, where's that website again where they can check all this? Because some people are having bus tours down there Saturday.
Yes, actually, myself, I represent the Central Florida chapter of Veterans for Peace, and the Tampa chapter, along with St. Pete's for Peace, is arranging vans down there. Kathy Bracewell of Code Pink of Volusia Flagler, that covers East Central Florida, she's going down with us. And the website is for the Miami event is www.rejectbushmiami.com, and you can get more information there. It's good to see the Spanish-speaking community really take an active role in this. The progressive Democrats in the various areas of Florida, the Miami, South Florida area, are really involved in it. And I believe they may have been the group that spearheaded this.
And, well, I hope Saturday they give him a rousing unwelcome.
We have to. And you know what? Damn it, people. Nothing's going to happen until enough people turn off their television sets and get involved. This will continue to go on as long as it's allowed to go on by the American people. The whole thing, you know, the Iraq, you know, the destruction of our civil liberties, the taking of our, you know, gas prices going up to as far as we allow them to charge us, you know, the raping of our treasury, the raping of our people, the destruction, you know, I don't even know if anyone knows about the North American Union.
Right, you know. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. As long as we sit back and take it, they're going to keep shoveling it to us. Phil, got to run.
Yes,
thank you
for
so much.
Allowing me to mention that guy.
And I would love to have been able to go over there and cover that Saturday, but I cannot do it. I would love to have been there for that, but have a good time.
Hopefully, I'll be able to call in next week and maybe.
Please
give you
do.
A report
Please
if I'm
do.
Not in Gitmo.
All right. Yes, not that far, Phil.
All right.
It's not that far.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Let's head over to line two. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Susan from Columbia City.
Hi.
You mentioned about the damage that was being done, you know, had been done to George Bush. You know, it's been pretty much maximized. What I see happening now is, I think if they keep this up, they're going to literally destroy the Republican Party to the point where it is going to go the way of the Whigs.
Well, you're right, and you know I don't want to see that happen. I think we need. You know, we need the Republican Party. Conservatives are needed as the opposition party to kind of, you know, rein in the excesses of moving too far too fast like we Democrats have done before. But as we've witnessed time and again, when they're in control, nothing good comes of it ever.
Oh, yeah. What I envision is there will be a new party created where the rational conservatives will go to, and these crazies will stay with this quote toxic Republican Party and die with it. Die in the metaphorical sense only, please, Amy.
Yes,
Fred. But I don't see the Republican Party surviving this. It is so toxic a name anymore.
Well, they've let it go on too long, and they know it.
Yeah.
And they're beginning to realize it. And the question is, here before the next election, if this situation we're in now persists for very much longer, you're going to see a lot of rats jump off the ship. I mean, a lot. Because there's, 21 Republican senators up for re-election, and you know a lot of them are going to abandon Bush's position on this war. They have to, or they're going to get beat.
The Republican senator in my state has already done it. He's Senator Smith from Morgan.
Yeah.
And he's vulnerable, and we're after him. We are after him already.
Yeah, they're all hoping you got short memories, you know. Well, I'll jump off the ship now and be against Bush here for a couple of months, and maybe you'll reelect me. That's what they're hoping. But I hope our memories are longer
than
that.
Dream on, buddy.
Yeah.
Dream on.
Hey, thanks for calling. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you, and you have a real nice day.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody, to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Glad to have all of you along with us on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you doing today? I'm feeling good. I guess you can probably tell by the tone in my voice. I'm feeling good today. As promised, I promised you a very interesting guest today. And we have with us right now somebody I've known, like I've told you before, kind of a cyber friend for a long, long time, but never had the opportunity to speak. And a lady who, well, and when you hear the story, you're going to admire her a great deal and be very envious. Perhaps some of you and others will be in awe of what she's just done. Jane Stillwater's with us. Jane, are you with us here?
Yes, absolutely. Hi, Guy.
Well, it's so good to have you along with us today. You're not your ordinary Californian. You're an activist that gets out there and does things. And when I heard that you were going to Baghdad, I thought, oh, no, is she really going to do this? But You did. You want to tell us how this all came up, how you decided to, I mean, you're not with the New York Times. You decided you were going to go to Baghdad and do some reporting from there, and how in the world did you get started on that?
Well, I've been feeling that we weren't getting the full truth about what was going on in Iraq, and I've just wanted to go there by myself and see for myself exactly what is going on and what we read in the newspaper is true and what we read in the newspaper is just wishful thinking on behalf of the Bush people. And so I did, and it took me a long time. I started last June. I wrote them and I said I wanted to come. They said, sorry, we don't take bloggers. I wrote them back. I got my congressperson, Barbara Lee, involved in it, and Senator Boxer, and they wrote her, Senator Boxer, and they said, you are opinion-based and not fact-based. And, you know, after Bush had said up and down and back and forth that there were weapons of mass destruction, and it turns out that it was all fabricated, I figure, hey, I'm more fact-based than George Bush. So,
hey, have they read the Wall Street Journal lately? Come on.
Exactly. So, so then it all bogged down again because, you know, they said no bloggers, but there's been a conservative blogger, Michael Yon, who's been over there for a year, so that didn't wash. So after the November election, things started to ease up a little bit, and I mentioned the word discrimination suit. Well, maybe that's two words. And they got to thinking, well, maybe it wouldn't be so bad to have Jane over here after all. What could she do? You know. And
this is all with the Department of Defense that you're talking
about. This is the Department of Defense that I was working through. So after the November election, things liberalized and or freed up a little bit, but they said I needed a sponsor. So the Lone Star Iconoclast in Crawford, Texas, was kind enough to sponsor me and say everything. And then the San Francisco Chronicle picked up my case, and they said...
Now, Gene, I have to ask you there first before we get to the Chronicle. How in the world did you come in contact with the Lone Star Iconoclast in Crawford, Texas?
My friend, Melinda Pillsbury Foster, she called me up and she said, you know, I write for them and I bet they would sponsor you. I said, sure, we'll ask them. And so she did. She called up the editor, Leon Smith, and he was very, very enthusiastic about the whole project. He said, sure, sign me on. And which is a big deal because he has to guarantee that I'm... that he would, if anything happened to me, he would front the bill for shipping my body home.
Oh, no. That's quite a responsibility.
Yeah, this is no small deal. Yeah. So I got hooked up on that. But they still wouldn't give me a date. And a month went by, and 2 months went by, and they're saying, yeah, well, we'd love to have you, but we can't find an embed for you. I'm thinking, you know, there's how many units? What? 300-400 units in Iraq, and not one of them wants to embed a little old lady in Kevlar? Well, So then finally I just said, I'm coming over. The Chronicle guy called over and said, she's coming. You can either embed her or have her sleep on the beach in Kuwait for 3 weeks. So they embedded me on the lesser embed, which means I was embedded on the military bases, but they never sent me out beyond the wire. So I spent a very frustrating 3 weeks trying to get embedded, and it was just really funny. They'd see me coming and like duck the other way. They'd say, Jane, we're trying to do everything you can.
Well, you're getting ahead of yourself here a little bit. You had all sorts of trials and tribulations before you ever got to Kuwait. About your almost getting stuck for your ticket because they wouldn't you had your ticket bought to go to Kuwait, and then they came back and said, oh, you're not going to go then, and you had many problems before you ever got there, didn't you?
Yeah, I just saving up for the money was money for the ticket was a big problem. But
how much is a ticket from San Francisco? Well, you live in the Bay Area. How much a ticket from there to Kuwait cost anyway?
Well, you go to www.bargaintravel.com, and you get these great bargains for any place out of the United States. So they sent, I got a ticket to Kuwait International Airport, which is this fabulous, modern, up-to-date international airport with, you know, they got a Starbucks and a Burger King, and it looks like every other airport in the world. Mm-hmm. And it was 1075. So $1,075 for the ticket.
Okay, that's not as bad as one might think.
Reasonable, yeah.
But so, but you almost didn't get to go on the date that you were going to leave, and they still didn't have your paperwork processed.
They still didn't have my paperwork processed. So when I arrived at Kuwait Airport, I called over to the Americans, and I said, well, here I am. What should I do? And they said, go to the KBR office at the airport. I walked over there, and there's this whole room full of Lazy Boys and Barker loungers. So I spent the night on a Barker lounger in the KBR office, and they were very nice about it.
Oh, thank God and for then, KBR.
Yeah. Well, then the next day, the public affairs officer at one of the air bases in Kuwait came and picked me up and took me out to the airport base, put me on a tent. I waited there for 24 hours. I got on a flight to Baghdad Airport, which, if you think all airports in the world look alike, Baghdad Airport is like four tents and a covered area. But they were very nice there. So from there, I went to another base, and I stayed there for 2 days. Finally, I got to the green zone. You have to go on this Rhino, which is the nickname for this armored bus that has that you go in the middle of the night with an armed guard, and you get from the airport to the green zone.
Now before you went, you had to arrange for your own Kevlar?
Yeah, I did.
That you had to buy it yourself?
Well, what happened was that I wasn't able to pull it together. A lot of people donated to my Kevlar fund.
Great.
And I wasn't able to pull it together. So when I got over there, they loaned me some. And then somehow my Kevlar got lost. How can you lose Kevlar? But it did. So I think they're going to bill me for $1,500, which is the going price for a Kevlar vest.
Oh, well, that's...
But I have enough money in my Kevlar fund to cover it, hopefully.
So you got there, you finally make it to the airport, Baghdad International,
and
they take you by bus to the green zone.
Armored, yeah, bus.
Armored bus. And
seriously armored bus.
This famous road from the airport to the green zone that they've had so many IED explosions and so forth. What were your feelings about that?
Well, on the way there, I was kind of afraid. Because this is such a big deal. You can't go in the daytime because of the curfew in the daytime. They have other cars. At night, there's no other cars. If you see another car on the road, they're either A, military, or B, enemy.
Ah.
So I was, you know, everybody's saying this Rhino is really scary, yada, yada, yada. But it was no big deal. They just took us to the green zone. But let me tell you a little bit about the green zone. You want to hear about the green zone?
We want to hear all about the green zone.
Back, who knows when, I should Google it and find out. I don't know whether it's Saddam or before it is Saddam, but they decided to build this whole national center, and they modeled it off of Washington, D.C. So it has the Broad Avenue, it has the monuments, it has the statues, it has the government buildings and the hotels and all that stuff. And that is the floor plan for the Green Zone. And then superimposed on top of this is the grid for an army base. So you've got kind of like Fort Benning or Fort Lewis plopped down on top of Washington, D.C., and that's pretty much what the Green Zone looks like.
Very, very military and big armed camp. Wow.
Yeah. With a lot of monuments.
A lot of monuments. Everything pertaining to Saddam is gone, though, right?
Pretty much. The palace is pretty much like a USO. In fact, they've got an aerobics class going on in one of the Sudan's ballrooms, and I went to the bathroom there and sat on, you know, and took a picture of Saddam's bidet. It was really funny. And his Saddam's Olympic-sized swimming pool. So,
the guy lived well.
The guy lived well. But he had no taste. I hate to say this, Saddam, but your case was a little bit tacky. It was like extravagance. It was like something the Beverly Hillbillies would come up with.
As my mother liked to use the term, cheesy.
Cheesy, but expensive cheesy. Oh,
yeah.
My God. You know, inlaid marble and chandeliers and yada, yada, yada. But over the top.
Over the top. Well, Jane, I read your newsletters that you sent back all the time, and I found them, from a human interest standpoint, fascinating. And I wasn't sure if you were aware. I don't know how to put this. I don't know how aware that you were that the rest of us, reading your correspondence from there, saw you on a real roller coaster emotionally. And I one of them, and I recall, and I don't have it here right now, but one of them that you sent must have been after a tough day. You said, "I'm tired of being in Iraq. I'm tired of seeing the horrible things here every day. I'm tired of seeing how bad this country is screwed and screwed up and so forth." You really took an emotional ride there, did you not?
I did. I really did. When I first got there, I thought the troops should come home right this minute. But when I got over there, I could see that, you know, the military was doing good stuff as well as you know, they weren't just breaking down doors in the middle of the night.
Well, let's be fair here. Tell us, report on some of the really good things that you saw the military being able to do.
Well, for one thing, I all I did in the green zone was I sat around the press room, and right across the hall from the press room was the conference room. So I kept, you know, I was just totally bored out of my mind, so I kept going to press conferences, and I went to about six of them, and I went to one by the Minister of Energy, and he was saying that one of the big things is that there's sometimes only 1 hour of electricity, up to 6 hours in Baghdad, and this is a big gripe, and that the U.S. troops were helping to guard the power stations because, let me talk about, you know, the people that are blowing up things in Iraq. I just, no, that's not right. That's not good. If you want to win the hearts and minds of people, whether you're the United States or whether you're the terrorists or you're Al-Qaeda or insurgents or whoever you are, you know, the Virginia Tech approach to problem solving has got to go. So anyway, they were saying, you know, that 40 workers had been killed and how hard it was to keep the city in electricity. And while I was there, two bridges were also blown. And, you know, I just consider people that do that to be psychotic. And I can't say enough how much I don't like that.
Well, day to day, as far as your own personal safety, did you feel safe all the time?
Oh, yeah. The green zone is totally safe, except...
You were there once when it wasn't so safe, were you not?
Yeah, but on a day-to-day basis, aside from the occasional mortar shell, the press room is two blocks from the Hotel Rashid, which is an old five-star hotel that used to be part of the civic complex or the... And to get there, you have to go through seven checkpoints, two body searches, and get your purse x-rayed twice.
This is all inside the green zone.
This is within two blocks inside mm-hmm. the green zone.
Okay.
So you're thinking to get a bomb or anything in here would be almost impossible. And I was more worried about because the water I brushed my teeth with came from the Euphrates, I was more worried about it being radioactive.
Yeah.
That was my big danger.
And and it's been documented that the people treating the water have said it was extremely dangerous, at least at one time or another. I hope they've got it. You had an interesting fix to all this. And I do have this one from you. Said, if it were up to you, you'd give every man, woman, and child in Iraq $15,000 and a passport and tell them to get the hell out.
Yeah, start again with all new people. I mean, it's just, here's what you got. You got the clash of the titans going on up here with the Americans and the insurgents and everybody bombing and tanks and yada, yada, yada going on. And then way down here are the people of Iraq who are trying to live a normal life. They're just trying to be like you and me. They're trying to, they want the same thing we want. They want safety on the streets. They want their children to be able to walk to school. And it's just really sad because,
it's the same people that always suffer during a war.
Right.
The people that really didn't start it, didn't want anything to do with it.
Exactly. And what can they do? What can they do? You know, they have to take up their own bombs and guns. And they don't want to do that.
Sure.
Or they can't.
And yet there's very few people in Baghdad, for example, that haven't been touched by this carnage in their family, in immediate or extended family. Very few.
Right, exactly.
And now we find out the UN is, just today I read a story where the UN is saying that the Iraqi government has vastly understated the civilian casualties there in order to make it look better.
I saw that.
A very troubling story.
Yeah, I was amazed by that.
You had something interesting after you were there for a while. You called it the Paris Hilton rationale for not leaving Iraq. You want to explain that to people? I found that title very interesting. It pulled me right into the story.
Oh, yeah. There is so much stuff over there. You know, $400 billion buys a lot of stuff. There is stuff. There are... You know, there's trucks, there's tanks, there's Humvees, there's places for people to live. There's, 130,000 contractors and that many people in the army. Every one of them has to have at least a place to take a shower. And I read somewhere somebody said, we can't leave because we'd never get all that stuff out of there. And that's no excuse to leave. I'll tell you why we should leave. And not only because I saw the injured parliamentarians who were, like, bleeding and covered with blood and in gurneys in the hallways of the combat support hospital, and it just turned me off war forever. Not only because of that, but because we can't afford that war. And, Guy, it's like this. You know, when your kid goes off to college, or my kid, I don't know if you're old enough, have a kid in college, and they they get these credit cards in the mail, and the kid thinks, oh, I've got this credit card, I'm going to go out and buy a Mercedes Benz. Guess what? You can't afford a Mercedes Benz. And it's the same way with this war. We're like these college kids who think we've got a credit card and don't know what it means. And what it means is, you can buy a lot with the United States credit card, but you cannot buy the Iraq war. It is too expensive. Get a life.
Yeah.
They're going to turn off the electricity on this war and the phone bill. Okay, well.
Sooner or later, that will have to happen. We will reach that point. You mentioned earlier about contractors and so forth. You had a story to tell about contractors that you learned something that was a big surprise to you about contractors in that country.
Yeah, and I've been more surprised because I just read an article in the wonderful Berkeley Daily Planet today talking about the Blackwater mercenaries. And I thought that contractors were mercenaries. And then I found out that contractors were these 130,000 people from Sri Lanka and Bangladesh and Texas, et cetera, who were who were also being killed. But then this article in the Berkeley Daily Planet today said, no, there are a lot of mercenaries. And the trend is under Bush and Cheney to get a private army going. And my jaw just dropped on that. And also our military. Let's talk about the military for a minute. Very good. Well-trained. Well, not well. Well, they should be well-trained, but the training is getting less and less. Now it's down to 2 weeks and send them off. But these people that I met were well-trained, well-disciplined, clean-cut, fresh Americans of all races, who were over there because they wanted to, A, they were idealistic and wanted to do a good job, or B, they needed the money. And they weren't, you know, they weren't like the lower dregs of society and the lower IQ'd people. These people were smart and they were doing a job. But, you know, it's like the charge of the Light Brigade. Someone has blundered, they're being sent on the wrong job. But according to this article that I read today, the military may be phased out. It may be all just become like Blackwater. And if you went to West Point and you watch your military being dissolved in front of your eyes, that cannot make you a happy camper.
No, certainly not. Some of the pictures you sent me today in the food. What about the food? You sent me a picture of a dessert table that didn't look too bad.
Oh, it was great. I'd go back to Iraq in a minute just for the food. What was happening is they weren't getting people re-upping because the food was so bad. So they decided that they were going to give more money to Halliburton to produce a great chow hall, and they did. I went to one, and they had salmon and crab legs for dinner. Of course, the salmon was unfrozen, refrozen.
Sure.
Put through the microwave so it tasted like cardboard, but gee.
Well, you can get that. You can get that in Denver. I mean,
yeah, right. Salmon. I mean, it was, and the crab legs were great. I was sitting here trying to figure out how to eat them. What I did was, don't tell nobody. I wrapped them in a napkin, put them on the ground, stomped on it, and then that cracked it, and then I could.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
You know, resourcefulness comes in handy in a place like that.
This is a war.
The MREs, you had some of those?
I never had one.
Never had one. Okay.
I have one in my possession. Somebody gave it to me, so I have an MRE.
Okay.
But I've never been desperate enough to open it.
Well, Jane, your overall impression. Your latest was called Washed in the Blood of the Lamb, Iraq in Retrospect.
Right.
Where are we going from here?
Well, I think we need to get out, and you need to get out now. And like everybody that I talked to, all the troops that I talked to said, when you get back there to America, tell anybody to listen. They've extended our tour of duty to 15 months. It's playing havoc with our families. We don't see our little kids. The military is, you know, going to Iraq isn't that bad because there's such a feeling of comradeship over there, to say nothing of the food. But 15 months, no, it's way too long. And Baghdad is a disaster area. I mean, they blew up two major bridges while I was there and blew up the parliament in the freaking green zone.
Yeah.
It's like Chicago during the 30s, just gangsters. And
did you get a chance to talk to very many, if any, Iraqi citizens there?
Not many. I talked to the parliamentarian ladies, and they were very adamant. They wanted their story out, how they just, you know, they just wanted a normal, peaceful life, and how desperate they were to get the tanks off the streets. And if I think what's going to happen is that the army and all that are going to pull back because we can't afford this. And they're going to pull back. And one reporter I talked to said, sure, there'll be a bloodbath over there. But it's a blood bath now.
Yes.
And it, you know, it'll get worse, but then it'll stabilize, because the people of Iraq are intelligent. They're not savages.
Right.
And they're very extremely polite. And when the Americans come barging in their homes at 2 o'clock in the morning searching for weapons, now even if they are searching for weapons, this, you know, this is the most impolite thing you can do to an Iraqi.
Oh, sure. Sure. Who would, you know, you'd live in constant fear. Not knowing, being a light sleeper, I don't know that I'd ever be able to sleep under those circumstances.
Yeah.
Well, Jane, you did a wonderful job while you were there. I enjoyed each and every one of your dispatches that you wrote, your trials and tribulations of going and worrying about the embed, whether you'd get it or not, and your helicopter ride. I really enjoyed the pictures you sent today. And we'd like to send everybody on over to your blog spot. You've got archives of practically all of your writings on there. And all of the ones while you were in route and coming home and the whole business over there. It's at jpstillwater.blogspot.com.
Oh, thank you.
And you had to come home to the mundane everyday things of life with
I know.
Yeah. Well,
I'm doing my laundry. You know, just before you call, I sit here doing my laundry.
Yeah.
And the last time I did the laundry was at the U.S. Embassy.
Oh, yes. Speaking of embassies, did you get a chance to see this monstrous new embassy that they're...
Yeah. It's huge. It's really huge. It's just, they've just started building it. You know, it's got the cranes and the wires sticking up, but it's huge.
Doesn't one wonder why such a monstrous embassy in Iraq, of all places? Great Britain, yes. France, yes. Maybe Russia, yes. Iraq, it's somewhat puzzling.
Well, you know my feeling about George W. Bush. Don't even.
I'm pretty sure
that.
I do.
His Virginia Tech approach to world governance and foreign policy and domestic policy is not working. It hasn't worked. The man is a failure. It's such a failure of leadership that all he can think to do is shoot people. That's like that shooter at Virginia Tech. That's the only thing he could think to get out of his dilemma,
yeah,
was to kill a bunch of people. No. You use your head, and then you reach for your AK-47 when there's nothing else left.
Very last resort, and you and I are in complete agreement about this failure, right, that is the president. Jane, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. It's been an absolute delight to hear a layman's bird's eye view of what went on there, and I knew the listeners would enjoy hearing it from you, and I certainly did, and I shall continue to enjoy your newsletters that you send out. And again, I just want to thank you very much for going over there and helping to get the truth back to the people, which is so important. The press has been castigated so much for not getting the truth out, and I think you did a swell job while you were there. And Jane, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today.
Oh, you're welcome. And you know, I always remember you because you contributed to my cancer walk.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was just so gracious of you.
Hey, thanks so much for all you do, Jane.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Very gracious lady. And I think you'll find her blog spot extremely interesting. It's like, what would you do if you were in Baghdad? How would you feel? How would you act? It was very, very interesting to hear from Jane about all of that. And a lovely lady. And I wish you could see the pictures she sent. Really, really terrific pictures of her time in Baghdad. But it's good to hear, rather than hear from some hot shot from one of the big networks, it's just good to hear from somebody that you know and you trust and you know that's going to tell you the skinny on what really is happening there. And that's why that story was so important to us to hear from her today. Well, we're going to... gee whiz, it's news time already. Yeah. We're going to pause for news here on the Guy James Show. Proud member of the Head On Radio Network. Music director Billy Shears. Oh, yeah. Don't forget Billy. And we'll be back right after the news, and we expect you'll be here with us as well.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill, House Democrats say they are confident a $1 billion war funding bill will pass. The measure does contain an October 1st deadline to bring the troops home, which the president has vowed to veto. Top aide to U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez has been granted immunity by a House committee vote. Monica Goodling, who evoked her Fifth Amendment right, was given immunity from prosecution by a vote of 32-6. A separate voice vote also passed to authorize a subpoena for Goodling. Senator John McCain has officially announced his candidacy for president. In a speech from New Hampshire, the Arizona Republican and Vietnam POW said he's running for president to protect the country and keep it strong. If elected, the 70-year-old McCain would be America's oldest first-term president. On Wall Street, for the first time in the history of the market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has broken the 13,000-point ceiling today. The market's best indicator hit 13,036.99 before retracing and holding around the landmark position. We'll have more numbers from Wall Street a bit later. A suicide bomber attacked a police station in the Diyala province today, killing four policemen and wounding 16. In other sectarian violence around Baghdad, two Iraqi civilians were killed and eight others wounded. The U.S. military identified an insurgent killed in the Anbar province last week as a senior al-Qaeda official. The Pentagon says the Iraqi terrorist led a militant group that recruited children for suicide car bomb operations. Last night, a tornado ripped through the border town of Eagle Pass, Texas, killing seven in the U.S. and three in Mexico. The same storm system also brought tornadoes to Colorado and Oklahoma and flooding across parts of Iowa and Nebraska. Firefighters continue to battle the 53,000-acre Georgia wildfire, now in its ninth day. 18 homes have been destroyed. More than 1,000 people have been evacuated. Murder charges have been filed against a Canadian prisoner in Guantanamo Bay, setting the stage for his military trial. Omar Khadr was 15 when captured during a battle in Afghanistan. If convicted, he faces life in prison. In Mexico, municipal lawmakers have voted to legalize abortion during the first 3 months of pregnancy. This is the first for Mexico, which is a predominantly Catholic country. Opponents say they will challenge the measure and take it to the country's Supreme Court. In Washington, the U.S. Office of Special Counsel has launched an investigation to determine whether White House advisor Karl Rove has misused his power. The probe focuses on possibility violations of the Hatch Act, which bans using public resources for public activity.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks, available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
European astronomers believe they found a planet that contains an Earth-like atmosphere and topography. Scientists say prediction models suggest the planet, located just outside of our solar system, could have either a rocky landscape or be covered with oceans and have temperatures which could support water and life. Chinese officials are looking to clear the air. Meteorologists will use a process called cloud seeding to artificially produce rain to remove air pollution in time for the opening ceremonies of the 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing. The technique has been around for decades, but its efficacy is debated among scientists. Federal investigators say hog farms in six states were sent contaminated pet food as pig feed. Authorities say they are unclear whether the hogs, which consume the poison feed, have entered the human food supply. The FDA says some pigs have tested positive for the poison in California and the Carolinas. JetBlue Airways narrowed its quarterly loss to $22 million. Operating revenues for the discount carrier increased 24% to $608 million. Britain's pharmacy chain Boots is the target of a takeover bid by U.S. private equity group KKR. The deal is valued at $22 billion. And right now, light sweet crude is trading at $65.44 a barrel. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 62 points, trading at 13,015.62. The NASDAQ is up 18 points, and the S&P 500 is up 10. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Jay Gallet.
show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hello, and welcome back to the Guy James Show, the second hour. We're here from 3 to 5 Eastern on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we're about to begin the second hour of the program. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for staying with us during the news. Hope you all had a cold drink, whatever it is you like, and a snack or two. Of course, it's getting to be about dinner time in the East. Won't be long. Unless you're one of those Europeans that likes to eat real late. I don't know. Hey, a friend of mine, Paul, and thank you, Paul, for sending this, reminded me that at 3 minutes and 4 seconds after 2 a.m. on the 6th of May this year, the time and date will be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And that won't happen again for over 1,000 years. So how about that, huh? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 2 a.m., 2.03 a.m., 4 seconds past, and 5, 6, 7. And Paul also, he likes to send me little gags, and I appreciate those. I really do. And Suzanne, I love yours as well. I tell a lot of those jokes over and over again. It's like the lady, you know, talking about all the environmental things lately. And, you know, no matter what side of the coin you're on, if you're really hardcore about it, if you're casual about it, whatever. It's like the lady who was attending a science convention. The expert on solar activity announced that the sun will burn out, terminating all life in about 10 billion years. She stands up and yells, "How long? How long before we all die? 10 billion years?" He says, he said, "Oh, thank God, I thought you said 10 million years." Well, ah, yes. And I see the news today, an important development. David Iglesias, the fired U.S. attorney from the state of New Mexico, from that district, Pete Domenici's territory. Pete Domenici, Senator Domenici, that gave him that very menacing phone call that then hung up on the U.S. attorney when he didn't get the answer he wanted from David Iglesias. And tell me that wasn't the reason he was fired, for not prosecuting the people that Domenici wanted prosecuted. And that's all going to come out. I'm sure that's going to come out. But we now know that, and I heard David Iglesias himself say this on the news last evening, and not on the news, I think it was maybe on Tweety Bird Show, I'm not sure, that Monica Goodling is going to be given immunity to testify on Capitol Hill. And Monica Goodling, as you well know, has resigned, and she said she was going to take the Fifth. But since she's resigned, and now they said they would probably give her immunity, She was the liaison between the Department of Justice and the White House. So if there's anybody that knows where the skeletons, what closet they're in, she does. She would understand about the coercion that we all believe took place between Karl Rove and Mr. Gonzalez, or whoever his appointee was within the halls of the Department of Justice that was actually running the joint, because I think we know now that either Alberto Gonzalez, is a horrible administrator that just doesn't give a damn of what goes on under his watch, or else he's the most prolific liar that ever lived in Washington, D.C., and that would be saying something to hold that trophy, would it not? But Monica Goodling's going to get immunity. And I heard David Iglesias say last night that she's the key to all this. If they could get her to testify, and it's exactly what he said, if they could get her to testify under immunity, that she may just well be the one that puts two and two together for everybody here. So we shall see. Very, very interesting development today that they've decided to give her immunity. I look forward to. She's one of the 150 grads of Pat Robertson's Regent University, the esteemed Regent University, ranks so low for law students, law schools, and yet they have 150 of them in the Bush administration. How many of you heard of Regent University before this whole thing came about? Or what was the college she went to? Messiah University, Messiah College, whatever. And another thing, why the hell does anybody still care? And I say this because I saw something on one of the talk shows last night, film of Tom DeLay. Why the hell does anybody still care what Tom DeLay thinks about anything? Here's a guy that put out a book, went out and hawked that book till hell wouldn't have it on every station he could get on. And, of course, all the conservative gas bags were just more than happy to put him on and let him talk about his book. And I can't even remember the name of it. It was that insignificant. And the book has completely bombed, has gone nowhere. We're at the point where even Richard Mellon Scaife doesn't buy up the first 50,000 copies like he always did for Ann Coulter. He's back down. You know, of course Tom DeLay will say outrageous crap like he did last night about, I think Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are getting awfully close to the line of treason. Awfully close to the line of committing treason. You stupid bastard, DeLay. Why don't you go back to Sugar Land, Texas, and keep your mouth shut and wait on your trial so you can have your ass sent to prison with the rest of your Republican friends? It seems to be what's happening to most of them nowadays. My God. I couldn't believe it. You know, he's a disgraced, toxic bombast with less personal credibility than anybody I can think of. He ran the Congress into the ground. He personally contributed as much as anybody to losing the GOP majority, and I don't know why most of the Republicans don't understand that, because he did. And here he is going around sucking up to all the the big evangelical preachers, and they're having him in to speak in their churches on Sunday. Oh, the only way he's going to see his name in a headline that doesn't include the word trials if he says something outrageous. And that's what he's been doing. Saying something outrageous. Every single day he's got to say something out. And there's always somebody fool enough. And of course, I guess I'm fool enough to talk about it. I just did. I saw a story where the writer from the Washington Post quoted an unnamed United States Senator, Republican United States Senator, let me reiterate, a Republican, a GOP United States Senator that said the White House legislative liaison team is incompetent, pitiful, embarrassing. My colleagues can't even tell you who the White House Senate liaison is. There is rank incompetence throughout the government. It's the weakest cabinet I've seen. And remember, This is a Republican talking. Things aren't going so well over at the GOP right now. How'd you like to be sitting over at the RNC right now? And first of all, they've had to be at those shredders day and night, shredding all those documents, all those emails if they printed them out, or destroying their hard drives so they can get rid of all the emails that were clandestinely sent from the White House to bypass regular White House correspondence, so there would be no record of their illegal activity. And I will say, from my point of view, the alleged illegal activity that we think has probably happened, that they used their private BlackBerries and computers, laptops issued by the RNC, so that they could circumvent the system at the White House and therefore run everything through an RNC server so nobody would be the wiser when they just willy-nilly fired U.S. attorneys. And I love it when they say this. Why, we could fire U.S. attorneys if we didn't like the color of their eyes. Well, yes, that's true. You can, if you're stupid enough to do so. But you better not be interfering with any trials that they may, and investigations that they may be involved in at the time, because you don't want them investigating some of these people, like, let's say Duke Cunningham, and that's in water over the bridge by now, but Congressman Renzi and Congressman Doolittle and now Congressman Feeney. Odd how so many Republicans are all getting caught now with their hands in the cookie jar, their homes being raided by the FBI. Doesn't look very good for them right now. Rick Renzi, crew last year named him one of the most corrupt members of Congress. And, of course, all of these people involved with Jack Abramoff, as was the illustrious Mr. Tom DeLay, as was Mr. Congressman Feeney, Tom Feeney from Florida. If there's anybody in Congress that's going to get his ass burned right now, would that it be Tom Feeney from Florida? I would love it. Oh, I would love it. I think Clint Curtis would probably like to see a little justice done as well. We may talk about the corrupt political congressman a little later on in the program, but my word, it just never seems to end. Just never, ever seems to end with them. But we shall be anxiously awaiting Monica Goodling's testimony now that she's got immunity, and to hear what she has to say, and to see if somebody, anybody from the Department of Justice can go and testify truthfully in front of the Judiciary Committee. That would be interesting to see one of them tell the truth. We know damn well Alberto Gonzalez did not. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Kevin from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, I just wanted to, the whole Blackwater thing with, you know, basically Bush's SS, I really think this is a scary, scary thing that we're heading down to, and it's been happening for years. And I think it dates back to Ross Perot with his own Delta Force.
There you go. Good example.
Yeah, he ended up looking like a hero, but it's a very, especially with a psychopath like Bush and Cheney.
What makes anybody think that developing a private army like this, and make no mistake about it, you're exactly right, that is what they're doing. What makes anybody think that they won't utilize them in our own country?
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, I say watch out for Election Day 2008.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden I have a feeling these Blackwater guys are going to be called back and, you know, and watch out for 2008.
We know, you know, Kevin, we're almost at the point where no scenario that you could dream up, no matter how far-fetched it may seem, can be discounted, because these guys, these guys have pulled off some tricks that I never dreamed anybody would have the cojones to do, and yet they it's in your face with them.
Well, you know, when people just start disappearing, like in Chile in the 70s, then, you know, people will know. People will know what the real deal is. You know, and it amazes me how a cockroach like Tom DeLay, you know, can go around calling people traitors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, the so-called, you know, that's what he was a cockroach killer.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's like, you know, but I don't know what it is about Texas and the water they drink, but they tend to elect the most asinine people.
Oh, they've done some good ones, have they not? Oh, yes.
You know, it's like all you have to do is carry a gun and have an inferiority complex with Northerners. And
you know, and some of them that people don't normally even think of. You take Kay Bailey Hutchison, for example. Yeah. That woman's been in more trouble in Texas you can shake a stick at, and yet there she is in the United States Senate. They pump out one after another down there. I think you're right about the water.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
No problem. Bye.
What is it about these Texan politicians? Come on, all you Texans. Come on, we need an explanation from you. How's this happening? I know how it's happening. You got too many hard-nosed, redneck, fundy evangelical wackos that are just won't give up. They just won't give up. They're hanging in there. Oh, are they ever? Speaking of hanging in there, there is one SOB that I would really love to meet on the street one day. Honestly, I would. And for statements like this.
Now, if this Virginia Tech shooter had an ideology, what do you think it was? This guy had to be a liberal. You start railing against the rich. And all this guy's a liberal. He was turned into a liberal somewhere along the line. So it's a liberal that committed this act. Now, the drive-bys will read on a website that I'm attacking liberalism by comparing this guy to them. That's exactly what they do every day, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just pointing out a fact. I am making no extrapolation. I'm just pointing it out. They try to... Whenever, I can tell you for the history of this program, starting way back in the early 90s, when there was any kind of an incident, crime or what have you, that attracted national attention. In the early days of this program, the drive-by media went out and they tried to connect the perpetrator to this program. They did everything they could. In fact, it went so far as Bill Clinton blaming me for influencing Timothy McVeigh to blow up the Bureau building. These are the people sponsoring lies and distortion for the purposes of dividing this country and creating hatred. These are the people that invented this kind of tactic, if you will.
I went back and researched, and I hope I could find my note here. I'm looking for it. I went back and tried to research what he was talking about Bill Clinton blaming Rush Limbaugh for the Murrow Building bombings. And I have in front of me the transcript of Clinton's speech in Minneapolis and Iowa after that. And yes, he spoke up about loud and angry voices in America today whose sole goal, and I'm quoting him, seemed to be to try to keep some people as paranoid as possible and the rest of us all torn up and upset with each other. They spread hate. They leave the impression that by their very words that violence is acceptable. He never mentioned Rush Limbaugh. Limbaugh would be so happy to report, and just did report to you with that clip that we had, that he mentioned this program, his program by name. It's absolutely not true. Of course, it came out of Rush Limbaugh's mouth, and what can you expect from a drug-riddled, drug-addled brain of Rush Limbaugh, except lies and distortions. Let me give you some more audio of the man that the people on the right, the conservatives, the neocons, consider their great leader. Oh, yes, they do. When he says things they like, they consider him their great leader, and they make him an honorary member of Congress and so forth. And when he embarrasses, he says something embarrassing, they say, oh, Rush Limbaugh, the comedian. No. Either with him or you're not. And they're always with him. Let me give you something else. You want to talk about hate speech? You want to talk about things people says that are off color? You want to compare things to Don Imus? Listen to this.
Barack, the magic Negro, lives in D.C. The L.A. Times, they call him that 'cause he's not authentic like me. Yeah, the guy from the L.A. paper said he made guilty whites feel good. They'll vote for him and not for me 'cause he's not from the hood. See, real black men like Snoop Dogg or me or Farrakhan have talked the talk and walked the walk, not coming late and won. Oh, Barack, the magic Negro, lives in D.C. The L.A. Times, they call him that 'cause he's black but not authentic. Barack, the magic Negro, lives in D.C. Times they called him that 'cause he's black but not authentically. Some say Barack's articulate and bright and new and clean. The media sure love this guy, white interloper's dream. But when you vote for president, watch out and don't be fooled. Don't vote the magic Negro in. 'Cause I won't have nothing after all these years of sacrifice. And I won't get justice. This is about justice. This is about me. It's about justice. It's about buffet. I'm gonna have no buffet. And there won't be any church contribution. And there ain't no cash in the collection plate. There ain't gonna be no cash money. No walking around money. No phoning money. Now you are gonna come in.
If you missed it, we've been discussing today a column by a guy named Paul Ehrenstein in the Los Angeles Times entitled The Magic Negro. It's all about how that white people supporting Barack Obama can't possibly be doing it on the basis of substance because there's nothing about him. He's an empty vessel. Nobody knows enough about him to support him on the basis of policy or substance. And so the white people supporting Barack Obama, the Magic Negro, are doing so precisely because he's the Magic Negro. By supporting him, white people get to assuage their guilt over this nation's history with slavery and the Confederacy and all this other tripe.
Yes, Rush, tripe. And it's though the man, after all the racist comments, that he's made over the years, that O'Reilly's made over the years, that Glenn Beck has made over the years, that Mike Savage has made, is indignant, trying to act indignant that we would consider that some of these folks are racist. I ask the question again, and you know the question I always ask, and it's always the way to put a stop to any challenge by anybody on the right. When you're challenging them personally on racism, or their party on racism, and it's one simple statement, or one simple question. It's a rhetorical question, really. Ask your Republican friends who say their party is not racist Tell me again, how many Republicans in the House of Representatives are Afro-Americans? How many? How many? How many? 20? 10? 4? Even 1? No. Hell no. None. And how many members of the United States Senate are Afro-Americans? How many? 3? 1? None. You want to talk about people that are racist? You take a look at the GOP that's in power today, and I'll show you a bunch of racists like have never been better racist. Never. And that includes the likes of the Limbaughs and their spokesmen as well. So the very idea that Mr. Limbaugh would act indignant, that someone might presuppose that him and his party are just a bit on the racist side, is ludicrous. My, I find that amusing. I really do. And very hypocritical. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Kevin from Washington again.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, I just got to say, Rush Limbaugh, you know, he talks about how patriotic and stuff it is. If he's such a patriot, I say follow the grand old Republican tradition of Teddy Roosevelt, quit his job, go to Iraq. Well, the Army won't take him because he's totally out of shape, but go to one of these sleazy contracting groups and take on a job as a contractor for his country.
Not going to happen.
Okay, as a truck driver.
No, simply not going to happen.
You know, all these guys, and I'll love to see one of these talk show hosts, these conservative talk show hosts, do that.
Oh, they're great patriots, though.
Yeah.
Great patriots, yeah. One and all. Hey, thanks for your call.
In the Republican tradition of Teddy Roosevelt.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Since we're talking about right-wing bloviators, let's hear from... Hey, let's face it. This guy coming up here, Glenn Beck, he's the Tom DeLay of the talkers. He only says outrageous things to get some ratings. The more outrageous things he says, the better his ratings get, evidently. The crazier things that he says, the more the right-wing neocons tune into his show, evidently.
The Democrats in Congress, I believe many of them, are just plain stupid.
Stupid.
They can't see the future. It's a combination of all three. Meanwhile, they're not only playing with the lives of our troops, but they are playing with the lives of the Iraqi people. It is immoral for us to do what we're doing right now, to abandon these people and let them get slaughtered after we started it. If we did that now, this would be America's most shameful act of immorality since slavery. The blood of the Iraqi children will be on all of our hands. Harry Reid, the Iraqi children are not wetting their pants because of us and the American soldiers. They are wetting their pants and having nightmares because of the lack of American soldiers protecting them. Let me ask George Clooney. George, where are you? Forget about Darfur. It's going to look like a picnic compared to what happens in Baghdad.
And there, a word from the wisest man around, Glenn Beck. I'm fascinating that the things these guys say. Beck, in particular, will say anything to get himself a notice. Anything. Oh, I tell you. I think the greatest thing I've learned in my trip into the political debate has been how little things actually change over the years. We seem to always be going where we've already been. And there are only three political issues at work since the first tribe had their first meeting. And those three issues are still with us. And there's always just three issues. Who will be included? What those included responsibilities and benefits are? and how to best screw those who are not included. Those are the three important parts of politics. And as we've said before, there are basically two kinds of conservatives. Those who don't got it and blame liberals and minorities for it. And those who got it and only care about keeping it that way. And I can understand conservatives' callous, selfish disregard for others. It's their pride in it that just blows me away. It does. One time after another, after another. It's getting a little old. It's just getting a little old. And I hope we can put this particular GOP party out to pasture. It'd be a wonderful thing. It certainly would. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a minute or two.
I found my way out of the Vietnam War. Hey, that's just what a dad is for. But I'll send your boys and girls to trounce any country whose name I can't pronounce. Did you hear I've got Saddam Hussein's own gun? I've never taken no back talk from anyone. I'm sure you understand. I'm not a girly man. I'm not a girly man.
He's not a girly man.
I'm not a girly man.
He's not a girly man.
I'm not a girly man.
He's not a girly man.
I'm not a girly man.
He's not a girly man.
I ain't squeamish at the sight of blood. If it ain't mine, I think I'll have a bud. A real man never shows remorse. Blowing up the world with awesome force. Never had no debilitating sense of fear. Better shoot him over there than over here. Did someone say I ran? I'm not a girly man. I'm not a girly man.
He's not a girly man.
I'm not a girly man.
He's not a girly man.
I'm not a girly man.
He's not a girly man.
I'm not a girly man.
He's not a girly man.
I don't get frightened of no deficit. A little red ink just don't scare me a bit. I ain't got time to sit and analyze the stuff with all you super sensitive guys. I'm gonna take the steroids right out of sports, shoot them into the economy and stack the courts. Forget Afghanistan. I'm not a girly man. I'm not a girly man.
He's not a girly man.
I'm not a girly man.
He's not a girly man.
I'm not a girly man.
He's not a girly man
now. I'm not a girly man.
He's not a girly man.
I'm not a girly man.
He's not a girly man.
I'm not a girly
man. I'm not a girly man. What good?
Alone in her road of hope.
back with you here in the Guy James Show today. You know, so many times as of late, we've heard him talk about loyalty to the White House, loyalty in Washington, D.C. It's a precious commodity there and highly prized. And I know you all know who David Ignatius is, not Iglesias, the guy that was the U.S. attorney, but Ignatius, David Ignatius, the writer for the Washington Post. And he had a terrific quote today. And although he's a lifetime member of the Beltway 500, I don't think he knows what he's got with this quote. And let me quote him. He said a prominent conservative complains, quote, "With this White House, there is loyalty not to an idea, but to a person. When Republicans talked about something in the Reagan administration being loyal, they didn't mean to Ronald Reagan, but to the conservative movement." So great. The old-timers are appalled that the president, who they groomed and funded and lied for and stole elections for, and absolutely enabled all the way over the cliff, turns out to believe in this false loyalty all along with his 30% of bitter enders who can't seem to undrink the Kool-Aid. And they're the people that form his only remaining base of support. My goodness, who could have seen that one coming? But even better, what I was getting at here, check that quote again for the word loyalty. Not loyalty to the country. Not loyalty to the Constitution. Not even loyalty to a party, for heaven's sake. Loyalty to the conservative movement. The movement. How I wish I could get that phrase bowel movement out of my mind. That was funded back in the 1970s by right-wing billionaires who are working to roll the country back to the 90s, the 1390s. When the church and state were the same. This is the same movement whose crackpot ideologies got us into Iraq. It's the same movement that's infesting the government with these Christianists who want to wreck and destroy it. The crazy ones. It's the same movement that ran the CPA in Iraq with the backpacks of cash, truckloads of cash, and managed to lose how many billion dollars? $14 billion? It's the same movement, this conservative movement, that brought us John Coathanger Roberts. The same movement that stole Florida in 2000. The same movement that brought us signing statements. How many? God only knows. And torture and prison camps. The destruction of the Geneva Convention. Massive warrantless surveillance. This cockamamie theory of the unitary executive and the destruction of the Constitution. The same movement. Well, you get the idea. Every bad idea and vicious, rancid policy for a generation can be traced back to these guys and their so-called loyalty to their precious movement. And that's what they say their loyalty to. That's what they put first before everything else. These guys came in and they trashed the country. And it isn't their country. Loyalty to the conservative movement. That disgusts me. It should disgust every person that loves this country. I'm just... Makes me so angry when I see something like that. Loyalty to their movement. To hell with the Constitution. To hell with the people. Let's be loyal to our movement, the mighty conservative movement. The great Ronald Reagan movement that's done so much for this country, that's divided this country. that's once again put the poor and the rich at odds with one another like never before, like it's destroyed the middle class, that movement. If there's been a time in our history, and I'll leave out the slavery time because that's probably the worst blight on our history. But if there's been a time in our history that we could go back and have a redo and erase a lot of what's been done by the United States government, by God, it would start with the Ronald Reagan conservative movement and these radical neocons that are running this country today. Oh God, if we could just erase most of what these people have done, both domestically and concerning foreign policy. Oh, if we could only redo it. Oh. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Say, good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, listen, Guy, did you get a chance? You got me going now today. Did you get a chance to either catch that American Experience on PBS or Independent Lens was on last night? And that American Experience has been on for like a week.
No, I have not seen it.
Oh, God, I wish you could have seen that. Well, all of them. At first, I'll talk about that Independent Lens, because that's...
By the way, while I'm thinking of it, I want to remind everybody that the new Bill Moyers Journal documentary from PBS is going to be on tonight about why the press bought into the Iraqi war. It's going to be on PBS tonight.
That'll be good. Yeah, I've seen that, the whatchamacallit's on it. But, Guy, that Independent Lens, he's talking about Texas. Well, I'll tell you what, who knows whether that... Kenny Layboy, you know, with all the meetings he had with Cheney in the White House, whether his death was what they said it was, I don't know. I'd had to see the guy keel over to say for sure myself, and then you couldn't say. Somebody maybe put something in his drink or in his food or whatever, but they sure didn't want him going to jail and then sitting in jail and saying, well, maybe if I... But that's neither here nor there. But God, they was talking last night, you know, they said with that Enron, they says they had, I'll bet, 20 different things on from those energy traders where they blacked out California. They showed all the automobile accidents, people having wrecks, stuck in elevators, where they just turned the power off to one of the largest states in the United States.
And laughed about it.
And laughed. They joked. God, they were rolling in the aisles. You should have heard those guys. And that's what you get out of Texas, that those Enron bunch. God, those guys just... I'll bet my blood pressure went up 20 points.
Oh, yeah.
Listening to that last night. It was a two-hour show. Boy, was it good.
Well, you know, you watch, the other night I watched a little bit on that Animal Planet. I had some time, and you know, it was the survival of the fittest and the lion going after the gazelle and all that. And I'm thinking, my God, it's no different than what we got right here going on in this country right now. We got the lions, the delays, the Enron people going after the people. I mean, it's savagery is what it is.
Yeah, and Guy, and then you know, you was talking about that movement, that Republican Party movement. Excuse me, Guy. Those were the guys who was pushing this deregulation.
Oh, yeah.
And deregulate this, deregulate that. Well, you know what that is. That's nothing but money in the banks. And those guys are just, they're knocking down millions and millions and some of them billions of dollars. They don't care about the ordinary average Joe out here on the street or yep. What meaning it has for him.
Definitely not. It does not matter.
You know, I seen the thing the other day on the news. They said that houses just are not moving. That people can't get out of these loans that they got in, you know, refinance and 120% we'll give you on a home that you buy. It's just unbelievable. They got this country in a wreck.
Well, you know, I heard one of the right-winger neocon economists the other day saying, well, yes, we're caught in this housing thing right now. A whole lot of people own homes who shouldn't own homes. Hell, if you go out and work a 40-hour week and your wife works a 40-hour week, should you be able to afford a home?
You would think that maybe that's part of the American dream, wouldn't you, Guy?
Used to be.
But well, let me put you onto that, what they, that pearl that was on this American experience, explaining that Iraq war.
Oh, Richard Pearl?
Oh, Richard Pearl.
Oh.
He was on there, and he's a couple of women got right into his face and that, but he still, he says, well, there was nobody that didn't believe that Saddam Hussein had these weapons. Well, you know, he was so close to manufacturing just anything that he wanted to, and we couldn't let that happen to this country, and all this. Just lie after lie after lie come out of that man's mouth.
Could it be that Richard Pearl himself greased the skids for Ahmad Shalabi to have the influence he did over the Pentagon, giving him false information and phonying up all this stuff? Richard Pearl himself was involved in that. Oh.
And now, Guy, we are stuck in this quagmire. We are not, like I told you last time I called her before, we're not getting out of there until sometime in 2009. You wait and see. If not, we'll have the... excuse me, Guy. I got a real bad cold.
So what you get for living up there on the lake.
Oh, Jesus. I've had this cold.
That cold wind coming in off that lake, are you?
They got us into this quagmire on all these lies. And then how somebody isn't just like that Richard Pearl, hiding in a cave someplace, afraid to go out. And where is this you're going to meet your maker? And these guys are going to take and get their just dues. I
had C-SPAN on in the studio this morning while I was getting some show prep stuff ready. And they had that morning call-in show. I can't think what it is. But they had a Republican congressman on there from Texas. And his mantra was, well, forget how all this happened. You know, we don't need to be pointing fingers of blame and all that. You know, that doesn't matter anymore. We are where we are, and we've got to figure out. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Isn't part of experience learning from your mistakes? Shouldn't we be pointing fingers at the people that got us into this so that we never, never, never make a stupid, idiotic move like this again? And here was a United States congressman. Oh, no, it doesn't matter. Now we've got to just move on. Forget about the finger-pointing and the investigations.
Yeah, I've heard about these elections coming up in 2008. But then Henry Waxman on C-SPAN holding that committee for all the lies that they told on that Pat Tillman.
Oh,
and,
disgusting.
Is it Pat Tillman or...
Pat Tillman, yeah. and the little girl from West Virginia. I can't think.
Right. Did you see any of that?
Yeah. Lyndia. No, not Lyndia. I can't think of her name, but she told it like it was, didn't she?
Oh, absolutely. I watched the whole hearing. It's about a four-hour hearing, and boy, was that interesting. You can't believe that they would do that. Here's a kid that went in there, you know, gave up his football career and went in there thinking he's going to serve his country and all that, which is fine and well. But then ends up getting a shot with that friendly fire and then just told lie after lie about it. And Bush was involved in that when he was given his the correspondence dinner. He got emails. They read those emails and said, hey, don't mention anything about how he died, because pretty soon the whatchamacallit's going to hit the fan. So,
well, you know, Bill,
week, Guy.
I think if there's one thing, it's a drip, drip, drip. You know, the Gonzalez thing, the Karl Rove thing, although this OSP investigation of Karl Rove, that's Scott Block that's the head of the OSP.
Don't you think that that's just, we didn't find anything, and then they hang up the phone, and they can say, well, hey, we was investigated, and nothing ever come up.
The guy head of the OSC, Scott Block, he's another Bush hack. That's all it's going to be, so that they can say when it's over with, we checked it out, everything's fine, Carl's in the clear. That's all that is. You got it exactly right.
Jeez, I've taken up too much of your time today, guy.
Hey, Bill, thanks for calling, and get rid of that cold.
Okay, listen, you take care of yourself, guy.
Bye now. Yeah, I'm sure you've all heard about the OSP investigation, the OSC investigation. And it does. It comes from the same Bush hack mold as popular favorites like Michael Brown and Alberto Gonzalez. So don't get too excited about it. Bill pointed out exactly right. He's very astute on this. The point of it could be to hold five or six half-assed interviews and release some sort of a heavily redacted report declaring everybody's completely innocent. That's what I expect from that. I'm so ashamed. And I know many of you are as well. Had a chance to talk to some people from other countries again this weekend. I often do where I live. And I'm so ashamed. I'm just so ashamed that we've allowed this country, this great country of ours, to get into the clutches of these madmen who are running it now, these incompetents, these sinister people like Karl Rove and Dick Cheney. Two of the most awful people who have ever been involved in American government. I'm so ashamed that we've allowed that to happen in this country. I thought we were better than that, and we're not. There are not enough of us willing and ready and able to stand up for what's right, or we'd never have people like this in positions of power in this country. I'm so ashamed of that. I just hope it'll come to an end soon. Heard George McGovern say that he thought the two of them would be forced to leave office by the end of 08. Well, I hope to God he's right. You know, I predicted on this program, and I began to think that it wasn't going to happen. I predicted the two of them would never make it all the way through the year, that one or the other of them would be gone. But at times, you know, you're angry, you're sad about it. Mostly right now, I'm ashamed. The Paul Wolfowitz deal. You have Bush still backing Gonzalez. You have him still backing Wolfowitz. You wonder, how could you do that? How could you do that to the American people? How could you do that? One scandal gets off the front page and another one takes its place. It just never seems to end with these people. Never does. I don't know. Maybe we'll solve it by tomorrow. Look forward to talking to you again tomorrow here on the Guy James Show, proud member of the Head On Radio Network. I do want you to remember, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a good one, gang, and see you tomorrow.